I looked at myself in the full-length mirror and lifted one corner of my mouth. The look was perfect, if a bit performative. A long velvet coat that cinched at my waist, black leggings meeting maroon boots that were not quite a match to the coat, and a top hat bedecked with a dark red ribbon. I looked just enough steampunk and just enough Victorian to take joy in my own attire. "Looking good, Poe Baxter," I said, reminding myself who I was. This outfit was so different from my usual linen dresses or jeans with floral blouses. Today I was stepping into the bookish part of my persona, which felt ideal. This was, after all, the first day of my new career. Just 6 weeks ago, I had been an English professor, one whose teaching my students enjoyed, if their reviews were to be believed. I cared a great deal about my students, perhaps too much, but I had grown weary of committee meetings and esoteric discussions about literary theory. Even more, I had gotten tired of grading papers. Oh, so very tired. So a year ago, I told my department chairs I was resigning. I didn't want to leave them with courses to cover and no new faculty member to teach them. Now, after a year that seemed it might never end, I was starting up my new business as a book finder. It was a job I'd never done before, but my Uncle Fitz assured me I'd be great at it, given my literary knowledge and acumen for acquiring and retaining information. He would know. Uncle Fitz owned the most amazing rare bookshop in Charlottesville, and as such, he had been collecting books from all over the world for most of his 75 years.
"Girl, you are made for this work. It's in your DNA, I'm certain,"
he told me when he found out I was leaving teaching and looking for a new career.
"I'm long past my traveling days, but with my experience and your knowledge of books, I think we can do quite nicely."
I had stared at him a little dumbfounded when he told me the salary he'd pay, a salary that outpaced my teaching one by a third, and when he added that he'd give me a commission for my fines as well, I almost refused, saying it was too generous. But then I took a deep breath, sat back into my worth like my therapist always said I should, and agreed.
"Now we just need to pick your specialty. Let's see, I have buyers in contemporary fiction and the classics, and your friend Beatty has been indispensable in the 18th and 19th century European texts."
He pushed a hand through his bushy gray hair.
"How would you feel about finding folklore and fairy tale texts?"
How would I feel about it? I'd be overjoyed. I had studied those subjects in my PhD program, as Uncle Fitz well knew, and while I hadn't ever been hired to teach in those areas, they were still my passion. I just loved reading the stories that helped people from earlier times understand their lived experiences. Those tales helped me understand my experiences too, even if I had yet to meet a dragon or a selkie. I had looked at my uncle and rolled my eyes. "I guess I could handle that, Uncle Fitz." Then I'd reached out and startled him with a huge hug. We weren't really the most physically demonstrative of families, but sometimes the gifts in life required bone-crushing hugs. This was one of those times.
"Excellent, dear. Now, Beatty is already scheduled to go to Edinburgh for a bit of scouting about Stevenson first editions. Perhaps you'd like to join her?"
He pulled a folder out of a tipping stack at the edge of his desk.
"I got word of a rare collection of Scottish sea monster tales and thought that might be a good place to start."
He handed me a photograph of a beautiful leather-bound volume that featured a snake-like creature pressed into the front cover. I stared at the blue leather and the fine work that had embossed it, and I nodded, unable to speak with my excitement. "When do we leave?" My uncle grinned.
"Friday. Beatty has all the information. She'll be your guide for our processes. I suppose you won't mind that."
He winked at me. Beatty Andrews was my best friend, had been my best friend since second grade when she had walked up to me and said, "You look weird. I'm weird too. Want to play dress up?" It was a meeting of kindred souls from that day on. Even when Beatty had come out and begun her transition from male to female, we had stayed close even as a lot of our friends fell away because they just didn't know what to say or do, or because they were simply hateful.